Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that is fine watching movies at home, even though we, like other diehard movie fans, have all ventured out to see what's playing at Spokane's theaters. We decided to devote this week to discussing some of the many multi-episode series that have been attracting a home viewing audience. Those series include two HBO Max presentations, the 6-episode comedy series Hacks, which stars Jean Smart, and the 7-episode murder mystery Mare of Easttown, which stars Kate Winslet. We'll end by looking at all 3 seasons of The Kominsky Method, starring Michael Douglas, the final 6 episodes of which premiered in May. And since not all of us managed to see all episodes of all 3 series, we're going to adjust our format just a bit. One of us will intro a series and the other two will, where necessary, question our colleagues' aesthetic tastes. Let's begin this week's show by letting Nathan talk about what is basically a tribute to a Joan Rivers-type comic starring Jean Smart.
Or you could say that it is basically an 8-episode campaign to get Jean Smart her 4th Emmy, because this is a showcase for an actress unlike we get all that often. I mean, I think she's a shoo-in to get this award. Again, the show is called Hacks, and Jean Smart plays a comedian named Deborah Vance, who is, I think comparing her to Joan Rivers is probably pretty accurate. She has been sort of a working comedian for most of her life. She's considered something of a trailblazer within the universe of the show, because she was one of the first women to make it as a comic and also kind of talk about issues that other comedians weren't dealing with. We even find out that she hosted her own talk show for a short amount of time, which of course Joan Rivers did as well.
Or at least she did a pilot for that talk show.
That's right. It never got picked up. And of course, the series is dealing with sort of the inherent sexism of, I mean, the world in general, but also the comedy scene in particular. And as the series opens, she is part of a Las Vegas residency. I think it's like a historic Las Vegas residency. And she's just kind of in a rut. And her ex-husband, again, this lines up with Joan Rivers' own biography, who was sort of like her manager and collaborator for years, has died. And she sort of feels like she needs a new act in her career. And so she begrudgingly hires a young out-of-work comic played by Hannah Einbinder. I wonder if we're related in some way. Einbinder is just so eerily close to my own name, but I digress.
What, Nathan?
Yeah, right. Yeah, just got chained. A couple letters got dropped over the years, but she comes on board and starts basically writing new edgy material that will appeal to a millennial or Gen Z audience, and the culture generational clashes ensue. And this show, Hacks, was co-created by Lucia Aniello and Paul W. Downs, who were two of the main creative forces behind Broad City. And this is much less farcical and fantastical than that show was. It's much more grounded. And I know, Dan, you're not a huge fan of this, but this was a show that I think it's incredibly funny. I think, and we can talk about this, the stand-up material isn't as funny as just the one-off jokes that people make throughout the show, but I think it's great. And I really like the chemistry between these two actresses and Jean Smart. I have to say, like, she's going to come up again when we talk about Mare of Easttown, but it's hard to play a comedian, a weary career comedian, and pull it off. I believe her in this role. And the fact that she's able to do this and then play kind of a grouchy, dowdy matriarch character in Mare is crazy to me. I think she's wonderful in the show. There's lots of funny people in the supporting cast, but Jean Smart is the reason to watch this, I think.
So what do you think about the Zoomer versus Boomer sort of tension that goes throughout this? Because I think that is a challenging contrast to make, and it could have gone awry. And knowing that you like this, I'm sure that you feel it did not. And I feel it did not for the most part either. But I think that's at least part of maybe what didn't work for Dan. But what do you think? Do you think that captured these two sort of generational, if not stereotypes, but sort of the things that we associate with those generations?
Yeah, I mean, I think it works and I think it's believable. And I think we see this in, again, to reference something we'll be talking about later, I think there's a worse kind of version of this comedy in something like the Kominsky method, where it is like, you know, oh, this younger generation is too woke and too whatever. And I think they are kind of dealing with that in Hacks, but I think it's more believable. And also the fact that they come to respect each other, that,
yes,
you know, yes, it does kind of become a two-way.
I know, it's time for Dan to weigh in with his battering nabob of negativity.
Well, first of all, let me just say, I've only seen the first 6 episodes, and the final ones don't even drop till after this show has been being recorded. So I can't give it a complete one, but Hacks reminds me of Nancy Pearl, the librarian, who says, if you get 50 pages into a novel and it doesn't interest you, feel free to quit. And that's, I've been 6 episodes, and I don't particularly care for the characters. I certainly don't like Hannah Einbinder. I don't think she's a very good actress. And there's a scene in which it just, to me, played completely false, where she looks back at the old stuff of videotape, on VHS, of Deborah Vance. And she's just laughing like hell. And it's not funny. You know that?
I don't know. There's a joke.
The key to things like this is the stand-up comedy has to be funny, which is what I didn't like about The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it's what I don't like here.
There's a joke in, well, first of all, I guess that's subjective. Either you laugh at it
or you don't. I agree. I totally cop to that.
I can't argue it. There's a joke in those old tapes, which I don't think would have ever made it to network television in the 1970s, but it involves, it's a joke about abortion rights that got a genuine gut laugh from me because it was so shocking. And it felt like an actual Joan Rivers joke. So it did make me laugh, I have to admit. And I mean, not all of it made me laugh, but that joke in particular made me laugh. I don't even think I can repeat it.
One of the difficulties here is the fact that when you're trying to intersperse these comedy riffs throughout, and Nathan, I agree with you. I think the best comedy happens in these sort of, you know, it's almost like a slam between the Jean Smart character and the Hannah Einbinder character. I mean, I think those are the funniest takeoffs. It's hard to integrate those funny things throughout. And also, I would say that her comedy, at one point, she's accused of pandering to the Panera bread crowd, or, you know, whatever, the Panera crowd. Yeah,
literally.
Right. And I think that part of the problem is, I mean, Joan Rivers was so acerbic. And so, you know, had that ability to comment on current events in a way that was almost cringeworthy at times. And I don't think that this captures that. And I'm not sure it intended to do so, but I liked the relationship among all of the characters, because we haven't mentioned Chris McDonald, for example, who shows up, and we know that he and the Jean Smart character have a history of various sorts. And they're sort of throwbacks to what things used to look like. But we also begin to get more of an appreciation, much like Joan Rivers, because Deborah Vance is out there in her 60s, still hustling, and working hard. And she's trying to explain herself to herself and also to her junior protagonist why she's doing that. And I think that, you know, it's that fear that, you know, it's not so much the adulation, although obviously that's part of it, but for this character to feel secure, even though she has all these tchotchkes throughout her house, lives in this mansion, you know, she's just going to have to keep on working.
We should also shout out to Carl Clemens Hopkins, who plays her manager, scheduler, and assistant. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. The supporting cast is terrific. And Caitlin Olson from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has some good jokes too. So I'll keep watching this. I hope it gets a second season.
Yeah, so 2 thumbs up, 1 pointed in the opposite direction, at any rate. And that was the HBO series Hacks. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 1 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to continue this special episode in which we look at 3 streaming series. Up next will be the HBO Max miniseries Mayor of Easttown, and we'll close with a look at Netflix's The Kominsky Method, which just concluded its 3rd and final season in May. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Hi, my name is Hiba Ahmed, and I am a producer with NPR's Weekend Edition. We like to say that nothing goes uncovered at Weekend Edition. We're trying to find the best person to possibly have the conversation with. And that might be an expert, or maybe it's somebody who's really at the heart of the story. Though you may only hear the voices of the hosts and the reporters, there's actually a ton of people behind the scenes who make every single segment come to life, whether that's a producer, an editor, an engineer, a fact checker. We all have the same mission in mind. We want to bring you the best journalism possible. I'm Hiba Ahmed. When you donate to the station, you support all the work that goes into bringing you the kind of journalism you expect from public radio. Here's how to give.
Just go to SpokanePublicRadio.org and click the donate button. Cheers to 50 years, and cheers to you.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed the HBO Max comedy series, Hacks. Let's now move to another HBO Max presentation, the 7-episode murder mystery, Mayor of Easttown, and then Netflix's The Kominsky Method. Let's begin with another star performance by Kate Winslet.
So in Mayor of Easttown, Winslet stars as Mayor Sheehan, and she's a detective who works in the police department in this small town of Easttown, Pennsylvania, which is located in Delaware County, west of Philadelphia. And a lot's going on in her life when we meet her, and we're just sort of thrust into what's happening in this small town. She's divorced. She lives with her mother, yes, who's played by Jean Smart. She has a daughter who's a senior in high school, played by Angori Rice, and a slightly older than a toddler grandson. So he might be 4 years old. And interestingly enough, she lives right next door to her ex-husband, who's played by David Dunham. Did I mention that this was a small town? And all of them, but especially Mayor, who was a one-time basketball star, and we find out about that early on, everyone is still dealing with the loss of Mayor's son, who before he committed suicide had developed a substance abuse disorder. And their family's life, we get the impression, was a living hell throughout this period. And I think that she discovers that her son's ex-partner, so the grandson's mother, who's played by Sosie Bacon, daughter of Kevin Bacon and Kyra Sedgwick, wants to regain custody of this grandson. But the most important thing is Mayor is investigating a murder of a young girl. And we are introduced to several potential candidates for who might have been the perpetrator of that murder. And I think that in this particular circumstance, we're trying to figure out, you know, at various points, Guy Pearce shows up, Evan Peters shows up. We're trying to figure out, will Mayor be resilient in terms of being able to sally forth, do her work, regain her sort of credibility with her law enforcement colleagues, maintain her relationships with friends and family members. And I think we're going to try to avoid the big reveal of who committed the murder. Although if anyone has access to the interweb, thanks to Stephen King, you might already know the answer to that. But if you don't, I think this plays out better if you don't know who done it. But I still think it would work even if you had that information.
Yeah, I had it spoiled for me. And honestly, the big reveal is, I think, quite silly. And I don't know if I almost, when I found out what actually happened, I almost didn't believe it because I thought there's no way that's actually true. And it turns out to be true. It's quite a ridiculous ending. But yeah, I mean, I think Mayor of Easttown is, you know, in a long tradition of shows like this, these kind of season long murder mysteries set in a regionally specific place. I mean, going all the way back to Twin Peaks, which is one of my very favorite TV shows ever. It's a whodunit, but it's really about the town and all of the weird people that live there. And that's kind of what this is, because there are so many subplots going on in Mayor of Easttown that never really pay off in terms of any kind of dramatic sense, but they're really there to just have a lot of characters and just kind of give you a feel for the flavor of this town. It also reminded me of, what was the British show? Broadchurch, very similar to Broadchurch in a lot of ways. But yeah, this is basically a soap opera, or as these characters would say, a soap opera. They have that long vowel kind of thing going on. There are, you know, lots of emotional confrontations. There's a scene where Kate Winslet has to go talk to somebody that's just died, and she gets slapped across the face, and you're like, yeah, okay, I know what kind of territory we're in here. The mystery itself, and there's really two mysteries, because it's who committed this murder, but also, is this murder tied to a string of disappearances that have happened? So it's kind of working on parallel tracks there. I was not totally interested in it, really. But I think the reason this show has been so popular, and it was so popular that when the finale aired, HBO Max actually crashed because so many people were trying to access it. So this is a very popular show. I think the reason it's popular is it's paced very well. It gives you the reveals, you know, like the little breadcrumbs at just the right time. So you really want to know what's going to happen next week. The cliffhanger game is on point. But I feel like we've seen this show a million times before. The performances are all great. Obviously, Kate Winslet can do no wrong. And I wonder if maybe she's the reason that it had so much heat when it premiered, because you have this Oscar-winning actress kind of doing her first big TV role. So I'm not in love with this, but I was pulled along by it because it's expertly paced, as all these HBO series tend to be.
Yeah. I mean, if you read much of the reaction out there, a large part of it, I think, is because we have a woman who's the primary character. And in that sense, it's a twist on these standard kinds of murder mysteries, which are always about a guy. For example, The Dry, which we talked about last week, the Australian film. But beyond that, I think that what you're saying, Nathan, is that we've seen this before. And you mentioned Broadchurch. Well, I wanted to talk about a British television series that's very close to this called Happy Valley, which I thought is superior in every way. Sarah Lancashire was ever bit as good as Kate Winslet as this small town chief of a small town police department in the interior of England someplace. And I appreciated it. I watched it all the way through. Thought it got a little hinky at the end simply because it's like, oh, really? I mean, come on. We can twist upon twist upon twist. A little too much, but it was worth watching.
I really liked Mare because I do think it is a women's show. It's about women's relationship, the Kate Winslet characters, Mare's relationship with her mom, with her daughter, her teammates from 25 years ago, who she played basketball with, who all take different roles in this particular movie. And then her relationship with her grandson's mother. And so I thought they did a nice job of showcasing these different courses of dealing that these characters had with one another that shift and change to some extent. The other thing that I liked is I thought the art direction was excellent. You know, it captured that sort of Delco, go Eagles, you know, and the sort of mismatched attire that everyone was wearing. And yeah, so I'm a huge fan of this.
And how about them accents?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the HBO Max presentation, Mare of Easttown. Let's now close with Netflix's The Kominsky Method. The first season of The Kominsky Method debuted in November 2018. Like a lot of streaming service programming in our house, it got lost amid the wealth of viewing options. That is, it did until two well-known Spokane Public Radio personalities, Vern Windham and Jim Tevenin, recommended it. So Mary Pat and I binge-watched more or less all three seasons, and for the most part, enjoyed it. It features Michael Douglas as Sandy Kominsky, a never-was actor who runs an acting school and whose best friend is his agent, Norman, played by the great Alan Arkin. An ongoing comedy that also offers up poignant observations about the art of acting, the pangs of aging, and overall the foibles of humankind. The first two seasons are heightened by the dueling presences of Douglas and Arkin. Unfortunately, the final season loses that combination, and except for the occasional sequence, some involving an almost unrecognizable Kathleen Turner, devolves into just another kind of network-type comedy conceived by Chuck Lorre of The Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men fame. The only thing missing of the third season is canned laughter.
Yeah, I only watched the first episode of this show because you made me. And
that
even
was
though
payback for all the zombie things you make me.
That's watch. Fine. That's fine. It's a small price to pay. But I have to say that I'm still not convinced this show exists. You can't convince me that there's an actual show on Netflix called The Kominsky Method that's been playing for 3 years. I just don't believe it. But even though I've seen it. Anyway, the point is, Chuck Lorre for me is the big sticking point here. I just don't care for his style of comedy. This is, as you said, it is different from something like The Big Bang Theory, which they actually make fun of on this show. But you're right. I mean, Michael Douglas, Alan Arkin, unassailable, all-time greats. But your review of the entire series does not really make me feel like I need to continue watching this. This isn't for me.
The wrong age demographic, are some younger
characters. Oh, come on. I love old people movies. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you do, typically. Yeah.
Particular kinds of old people movies.
Come on.
So I thought Alan Arkin, I loved him in this series.
He's great.
And I agree. I mean, Dan, you didn't mention Paul Reiser, who shows up.
Oh, please. He shows up and ruins the entire show.
Not mad about him, I take it.
Ooh, no.
But I think if you're in that baby boomer, especially the older baby boomer demographic, maybe you would appreciate this more. Maybe the male baby boomer demographic. Yeah. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah. You know, I was giving Chuck Lorre a complete pass in those first two seasons. And then came the third season and I went, oh, okay, Chuck, back to where you've always been. So,
well, as an honorary geriatric, I was not that into this. But again, I've only seen one episode, so maybe I shouldn't be commenting.
At any rate, that was the Kominsky Method. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And early in the show, Nathan Weinbinder, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discussed two HBO Max presentations, Hacks and Mare of Easttown. Let's take this moment to thank Peter Glarberg for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Until then, remember these words from the director, Alfred Hitchcock. Seeing a murder on television can help work off one's antagonisms. And if you haven't any antagonisms, the commercials will give you some. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.